You see, you all know about how Baba was interested in the musts and his work with the musts. He went in search of the musts. To us, of course, they were people who had abandoned the worldly desires and lived only for God. And we followed the God-man in his search for the musts, as he called them. But to some of us, he said, they may be the musts in the eyes of the world, but they are my beloved children. And now that I have come on this earth, it's my duty to be with my children, to serve them, to love them, to give my love, to fill their hearts with my love, so forth and so on. Musts, you know, people in India, some of them, of course, they know of them, they know of their good qualities, they know their status. Must is a word, it's an Indian word, means, what's the English equivalent of the must, you see? Somebody who is, I want to have a literal translation of that word. Must is somebody who is more than satisfied, you see. Just like when you have an appetite and you fill your belly with all sorts of rich food that is served to you or that is there on the table and placed before you. And then after you have had your fill, you say that, well, I am full. And I have become must, you see, with this. That means, what's that word? What's the equivalent of that? What is there any phrase or word there for?
Satiated?
Yeah, but satiated is, yes. Yeah.
Too much? Glutted?
No, but that is too derogatory a term, you see. Yeah.
Completely full?
Yeah, completely full, so to say, you see. Yeah, stuffed. You're stuffed, you see. Here, Baba has used another word, you see, overpowered. A must is an overpowered by the love of God, you see, or absorbed, as Baba says, which is mazzub, who is absorbed in God, you see, God, and so forth. So, while we were on these must tours, Baba one day told us, you see, about a certain king who had turned must. His name is Balul, and two or three stories connected with this great king were reported to us by Baba. And I remember them, and I would like to reproduce them here today. What happened once, Balul was a great king, and, well, he ruled his subjects, and made them over his subjects and made them happy, and they were all satisfied. Everything was very pleasant, very happy. There was a happy atmosphere there in the kingdom, whole kingdom of it. All of a sudden, it so happened that he got an experience, and if I am right in recollecting that experience, is that while he was asleep in his palace, he heard some noises, you see, over his head there. And so he woke up from his sleep and tried to find out what's the matter in his palace, you see. And there, he hears hooves of horses there, right on the top. And he wonders, what's the matter? How could horses be up right there, you see, over the terrace of his palace? And he couldn't believe his ears, says, he shouted out, who's there? So he says, we are wayfarers. Wayfarers? What do you mean by wayfarers, you see? How could you be here in the palace, you see, if you are a wayfarer? So the voice echoes back and says, who are you? He says, I am the king. How are you supposed to be in this palace? Because I am the king. And prior to that, who were you? So I know not. And prior to that, know not. After this, know not. But he says, let that be aside, you see, but how could wayfarers be there right on the roof of my palace? How is it possible? Says, how is it possible that you are here in the palace? You see, you too are a wayfarer. And that's it, what brought him, you see, to his senses, and it is said that his time was ripe, and he left the palace, and he went out on the streets, knowing, feeling and experiencing that this is not a permanent thing, you see. It will never last, and I am just a wayfarer, as all the others are, you see. And he lost his balance, you see, as we call it, in the worldly way. And he roamed the streets. And then people wondered that it's useless, you see, to keep him as the king over the subjects, to rule. So his younger brother took over the charge and he became the king. Younger brother's wife became the queen. And this Balul just roamed about the streets like a must, like a man who is possessed with the love of God. Years passed by and people got themselves reconciled to the fact now he is no more a king but a must, and they paid their allegiance to his brother whom they held to be the king and believed that now he was the rightful king. The brother, you see, had no regard for his elder brother who had turned mad, but his wife, the queen, had some sort of regard and felt that this Balul was not an ordinary mad person. He was possessed with the love of God from the way he lived the life, even though he lived in the streets. So one day it so happened, while she was going out with her maidens on the shore for a stroll to take the sea breeze, as it is said, and Balul was spotted by her, and he was playing there with the sand on the shore. So the queen stopped there and asked Balul, greeted him first. He says, how are you, Balul? He says, I'm well, fine. What are you doing? He said, well, I'm just building castles in heaven. Building castles in heaven? Yes, for whom? For those who are destined to be in heaven. So the queen just joked with him, says, Balul, wouldn't you want to build a castle for me in heaven? He says, of course, why not? But you'll have to pay the price for it. What price? He says, you see that you have that necklace around your neck there with the gems? That's the price for it. She took him lightly, said, well, here is the necklace. I pay the price now. Will you build a castle there for me in heaven? He says, right. So he took the necklace from the queen, tore it, and threw the gems in the sea, one after the other. It was a priceless necklace. And the queen laughed, and Balul laughed, and the maidens giggled, and they waited for some time, and they left. When she returned home, she was in a palace. A day or two passed by, she completely forgot about the whole thing. One day, king spots the absence of the necklace and asks her as to what had happened. What has happened to the necklace? You don't like it? Have you put it by in the treasury? Where is the necklace? That was one of the beautiful necklaces. Why don't you like it? He says, well, it's no more, she said. What? What happened? Did anybody steal it? No, I gave it to Balul. And what did he do? He threw the gems in the sea. He got infuriated over it. He says, why do you play with that madman like that? Don't you know that he's mad? Why did you give it to him? Do you know that it doesn't belong to you personally? It's an heirloom. You can't just treat it lightly. How will I reveal this to the ministers and the subjects? She didn't realize that. And she was very upset and very sorry for it. And the king was very upset too and rather angry on her. And the day was spoiled in the palace. Long faces everywhere. Well, a day or two passed by. The king somehow or other got over this loss and the queen got over the loss. And they again started being normal. But just then, it so happened that the king in the night got nightmares. And in that, he finds himself, you see, some or other, stranded all of a sudden, being the king, you see. We can't realize his feelings because we live in a situation where every step of ours is taken in this world and we find ourselves stranded. So we are used to our being stranded, you see, wherever we turn our head or what direction we take. But for a king, it's a difficult thing, you see, to accept the fact that he is stranded anywhere. And somehow or other he gets this dream and he wakes up, you see. That nightmare is so terrifying that he wakes up from his dream there and he has perspired, you see. And he does not know, he shouts loudly and wakes up. And the queen is disturbed from her sleep and she wakes up and says, "Take it easy, what's the matter, what has happened?" He says, "I saw a very terrifying dream for me." "What is it?" He says, "You remember some days back you told me what had happened to your necklace?" He says, "Yes, I gave it to Balul," I said. "Does it still linger in your mind? Is it such a great loss that you can't forgive me for it?" He says, "It's not that, it's not that. In return for the necklace, it seems that he had built a palace for you, a castle for you in heaven." "So what?" she says. "Do you take that seriously?" He says, "Yes, I do take it seriously now after what I have seen and believed in what I am seeing." "What is it?" He says, "I find myself completely stranded in heaven. I am dead and I am taken and led in heaven, you see, and there I go. And what I find is that each one has his own castle. And I spot you in your own castle there. And you are there and I beg of you to allow me to enter. And you say the code of heaven is such that a castle is for the one who owns it. Each to one his own self or her own self. Nobody can share the castle there. And I then go out and search for the castle that should be for me. And I don't have any place to step in. And the experiences that I went through were horrifying." So then she says, "I told you often that you shouldn't take your brother lightly. What you should do is, don't worry about it. We can tell him to build another castle for you. It's good that you got the sign now." So preparations are made to invite Balul to the palace for the first time after he had left it. Mind you, this is the story that Baba told us. And Balul comes there, you see, escorted by some officers and all that in his dirty rags, filthy body, you see, cheerful as ever. And he steps inside the palace and says, "What's this? Why am I being dragged here? What sin have I committed?" So then he is pacified by the queen, because queen had a real regard for him, and the king keeps mum, and queen makes him sit on the best of the chairs there in the palace, and then orders, you see, the servants to give him a good scrub, you see, and a bath, and make him wear royal robes and all that. And that's how he is received in the palace for the first time. When everything is gotten over, you see, and he's relaxed and the king feels relaxed and the queen is relaxed, the king puts this question to Balul. He says, "Balul, my brother, I have one request for you." He says, "What is it, brother? What do you want?" He says, "You remember the queen the other day? She was strolling there at the shore and you were doing something." He says, "Yes, I remember, I remember. I was building castles in heaven, you see, for those who deserved castles in heaven." He says, "Wouldn't you want to build one for me?" He says, "Why not? Surely I can build, but you'll have to pay the price for it." He says, "Right. What do you want?" He says, "What can you give?" He says, "Well, here is a pearl necklace, you see, I have. I'd like to have this." "Oh," he says, "that's too cheap a price for it." He says, "All right, a diamond necklace from the treasury." "That's too cheap too," he says. "But then you accepted the same from the queen, your sister-in-law." Well, that's too cheap. That's for her, you see, not for the king. King of a great dominion has to pay a greater price, you see, for a castle in heaven. Like that, you see, he started bargain. And the bargain was, he began with the bargain saying that, well, I can give you half of the kingdom. Half of your kingdom? That's too little, you see. Even if you were to give the whole kingdom in return for a castle in heaven, it's too little. So, but I can't understand what you say. And he says, well, it's really difficult for a king to understand this. It's so easy for me to know it. So, but what do you mean by it? You accepted a necklace of diamonds from the queen and you built her a castle, and I expect you to build one, and even the whole of my kingdom is too little, you say. He says, yes, it is too little. Once you know what it means to have a castle in heaven, it's too little. Even if you were to give up your own life and your whole kingdom 1,000 times over, it will be too little now. Unless you have the grace of the Master, you will never have it. So Baba told us the story, you see, that now when I am not known to the world, and I walk the earth, and I have disclosed the fact to my close ones that I am the same Ancient One. You have adhered to me, you have followed me through thick and thin, not knowing my status, not knowing who I am. I called you, you followed me. When the world will come to know of it, and when they would want to sacrifice their lives in my cause, for me, that would be too little for them. Little sacrifices that you have made here for me, that will be the price for being with me. Just as the queen, when she was ordered to give her necklace to build a castle in heaven, she offered it spontaneously, not knowing the worth of it. She didn't even realize whether what she is giving is a price for the same thing. She gave it, just gave it. Likewise, you gave up your connections with the world, you gave up things that belong to you to be with me, to follow me. That's the price. That's enough as a price, knowing not what you are doing it for. But once you come to know why you want to do it for, then there is no price. It's priceless. So that's the story Baba told us, you see, about his coming here in the midst of mankind and not knowing who he is and following him. After he manifests, it will be quite a different thing, he says. World will come to know of it. But before my manifestation, if people were to follow me and believe in what I say, well, they can pay a very small price for it and can be with me, can love me. But once I manifest, once my glorification spreads all over the earth, then there is no price, nothing. Then they will have to wait for another advent. So that's the story about Balur.